Hello and welcome to hour number two of this Friday of Catholic Answers Live. I am Jerry Usher, blessed to be in for Cy Kellett today, who always does such a great job. These are big shoes to fill, but I'm honored to be given the opportunity. And we're grateful that you are with us here this hour of the program, hour number two, as we talk about Jesus in your marriage. Okay, so that is something we're going to unpack with Dr. Edward Serree and his wife Beth. But we want to give you the phone number and invite you to call in with your questions at 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Maybe you were married in the church and since then have not really included Jesus in your marriage on the concrete level. Maybe you were not married in the church. Maybe one of you is Catholic, one is not. One's a Christian, one is not. You want to know, you know, just some practical ways to really cement that bond of marriage that you have by including Jesus in it. As Fulton Sheen said, three to get married. He wrote a book on that. It's the husband, the wife, and Jesus. And that's what we're talking about this hour with your participation again at 888-318-7884. Edward and Beth Serree have been married 21 years and are blessed with eight children. Edward is a theologian, international Catholic speaker, and author of several best-selling books, including Men, Women, and the Mystery of Love. He's the host of the All Things Catholic podcast, and he leads Rome and Holy Land pilgrimages and serves as FOCUS, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Vice President of Formation. Now, in addition to serving as the CEO of the Serree household, Beth enjoys leading women's groups, mentoring young moms, running, and reading Jane Austen. And you can connect with each of them on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and visit their websites, edwardserree.com, and Beth's is borntodothis.org. Ed and Beth, thank you so much for joining us here this hour of the program.
Thanks so much for having us.
Jerry, great to be here.
Boy, I'm so glad we're doing this topic and doing it from the angle that we are. Obviously, Catholic Answers Live is known for apologetics, and we could talk about, you know, the biblical understanding of the sacrament and apologetics and all of that. But I know you wanted to talk about this from a very concrete level, and so I want to invite people who are listening to call in. And if you are wondering about how to include Jesus in your marriage, how to talk to your spouse about the faith, how to be really united in Christ, how to pray together, how to read scripture together, how to teach your kids the importance of having Jesus in your lives. It's 888-318-7884. And Edward and Beth, where I want to start is talking about the realities of marriage. We hear about, of course, the beauty of the sacrament and John Paul II's theology of the body and all of that, which is very, very beautiful. But then you get married and you're like, wow, this is really hard, you know? So talk about marriage. Let's start off with that.
Yeah, you know, I've taught many classes on theology of the body, theology of marriage, and so I love it. It's all beautiful, but the reality of actually living day to day and being challenged to grow in love, that reality is a whole different experience. It reminds me of a friend of mine when he got married. His best man came to see him back in the sacristy. So this is shortly before the wedding. And the best man had been married for many years, and he's looking at my friend who's the groom, and the best man walks in, looks at the groom, and just starts laughing at the groom. And then the groom says, what are you laughing at? What's so funny? And then the best man says, that's just it. You don't know.
No idea.
You have no idea what you're really entering into. You know, even the best marriage prep program can't really prepare you for what all that's going to happen in marriage and the wonderful, beautiful ways, but also challenging ways that God is calling us to grow and to become more and more like Him.
And it really is on-the-job training, right? I mean, you don't practice being married, right? You get married and then you're doing it. You're doing it day in and day out. Morning, noon, and night. It's just, yeah, it's a whole thing you enter into that will shape you. I like to say that walking down the aisle is not the finish line. I know a lot of young women who dream about their wedding day. And finally, I can find the one and we can be together forever. But I'm a distance runner. And that altar that I do, that exchange of rings, that is your starting line. The finish is hopefully when you're both in heaven, right? But it's the starting line of a marathon that will challenge you and build you and make you into a whole new person because you're united to another person with our Lord. It really, I mean, 21 years in, I'm just so grateful for the way that that Jesus in our marriage through Ted and with our children has just worn me down in a good way. It's like exposed me for who I am and who I'm meant to be. It's really fabulous.
Yeah. I was just going to share. There's a quote from JP too that really inspires us along these lines. He once said that, you know, this idea that God calls us to marriage, you know, he calls this couple to marriage. And it's beautiful to think about that. Yeah, that God really had a plan and he wanted Beth and Edward to come together in marriage. And it's wonderful. But that same God, he says, that calls a couple to marriage continues to call the couple in marriage, in their marriage, in the daily difficulties, circumstances, challenges, and trials that come up in ordinary daily married life. And I think that's very beautiful to remember that there's in marriage, there's a lot of circumstances, trials, and difficulties, you know, marriage and family life, you know, just marriage alone. Then when kids come, there's a whole other level.
It's like, you know, exponentially.
But to see all of those things, those times when we're completely exhausted, the times when, like, you know, like all the children are having a breakdown at the same moment, or the times when you feel your spouse doesn't appreciate you or isn't listening, or your spouse hurts you, like those moments, you can look at them as just frustrating moments. You can look at them as this is just, this has to change. But what JP2 is saying is no. We have to see this is where Jesus is calling us right there. That same God that called the couple to marriage, he's calling us right at that moment. He's calling us to love and stretch our hearts and to love like him. And that's hard. I'm exhausted. I don't want to take care of the baby here. I'm frustrated. Why does this kid keep having a breakdown? Or
why is it so loud? That's my thing this week. Like, how is it so loud when there's three kids home out of eight? Like, oh, these are the things though. We're called to just find our peace and work with it and just go, just do it. Don't sit and mumble and grumble and complain. Like, be proactive and go at it.
Well, you've given our listeners a lot of things to call in and talk about right now, and the number is 888-318-7884. Ted and Beth Sree are with us this hour on the program, and if you're married, you have kids, and like Beth was saying, you know, maybe, or Ted was saying, they all have a meltdown at the same time. Maybe you're wondering how to hold that together, how to maybe divide up the quote unquote labor. You know, who's going to take care of what when? How do you bring Jesus into your marriage? So very, very important to do that. And you can call and ask any question along these lines that you want at 888-318-7884. Ted and Beth, how does a person's upbringing affect their marriage? You know, people come from all different kinds of backgrounds, and sometimes a couple might not even realize the vast differences in their upbringings until after the wedding and they're living together and starting a family.
Yeah, we go into our marriages thinking, oh, yeah, we're different. And, you know, her differences are kind of cute, you know, and we're all going to get wrong. It's all going to be great. And then you actually get into it. It's like, this is really hard.
you just take things for granted that, well, I saw my mom and dad do this. So, of course, that's how marriage is. Right. And so, of course, my husband or my wife will know that. Right. But that's not always the case. At all.
Yeah. I remind of a good friend of mine. He came from a very quiet family. You know, they're a family of introverts. And he married a very loud, boisterous Irish girl from a loud Irish family. You know, so in the Irish family that the wife was in, she, you know, they're very loud and they're very expressive and they fight all the time. And then they, you know, they may be yelling at the top of their lungs, and then 5 seconds later, they're hugging each other and smiling and laughing. And it's just, they just, all the emotions are out there on the table. That's just what she grew up with. He grew up around the table, very quiet, introverted. And they say, you know, how's the weather? It's okay. And, you know, no one would ever disagree with on anything. Right. So imagine this couple coming together, you know, like something goes on in the marriage, and all of a sudden she's like, ah, why did that happen? And he's thinking, oh no, oh my goodness, she's yelling. Are we going to get a divorce? What does this mean? And he's panicking. And then she's like, why is he so quiet? How come he's not talking? Doesn't he care? Doesn't he love me? He's just bottling everything up inside. You know, he must be really mad at me. And you could tell in those moments there, like there's differences that come into play. And in a moment like that, many couples could have an attitude of, well, you know, you just need to change. You know, you need to stop being so loud, or she needs to say, or she's going to say to herself, well, you just need to be more open. And I think that's what we often do when we come into our marriages. I like to say we come into our marriages singing that old Billy Joel song. Remember, Don't go changing to try to. I love you just the way you are, you know. And I love you with all your faults and weaknesses. Yeah. And then about, you know, 7 months or 7 years into your marriage, you're like, you're not singing that song anymore. Yeah, you're singing Bon Jovi. You give love a bad name. And this is really frustrating me. And you need to change, you know. And we treat our spouse kind of like we do like a TV show. You know, we have a remote control and a commercial comes on. It's like change. All right. The show is boring. Change. I want my spouse to change. What was beautiful in this couple, and I'd share that because they really are a great Catholic couple, but they learned to work together. And he came to see that, yeah, you know, she's expressive. And I don't have to interpret expressive and loud and expressing emotion as I hate you, I'm really, really mad at you, and I need to be able to share a bit myself and come out of my shell a little bit and let her know what I'm thinking. And she needed to also go, okay, I sometimes need to give him time to process. He's internal, he's introvert, he needs time to think it through. And I can say we've had that in our own marriage.
Yeah. I think it's important though, to give people the space to screw up, mess up, you know, cause you're not going to come in and get it all perfectly. And that's the beauty of it. You're not going to come in and nail it and get 100% A plus in your marriage right off the bat, maybe even ever, let's be honest, but you have to give that give and take and be very succinct and express things, but also process and just work through it. And it's that working through it that will bring greater unity, and that working through it that will allow you to finally understand each other and figure out what works in your marriage. And it can be really powerful, but it takes time. Like I know my husband is very much like, he needs a lot of prep, right, Ted? You need a lot of preparation for new things.
He's
very logical, very rationally oriented.
Like there's a purchase being made or we're going to change the plan.
So when I, like, for instance, buying the house that we live in now, when I saw it on the market, I had to say, honey, I'm going to tell you something and I need you to listen and not say anything. Just take it in. And he was like, okay. And this was on the phone, mind you. And okay. I've never pulled this before.
Okay. Wait, you got to get the background here, Jerry, though. Here's the background. So we moved from Kansas to Colorado 14 years ago.
Right.
So we moved the whole family, got into the house. We were still unpacking. It's still 6 months.
We've been there 9 months. We've had a baby.
9 months, a new baby, a new job. And we still hadn't finished unpacking. And then I'm on a trip to Minnesota and she calls me and says, do you want to move again?
I said, please listen to this.
No,
and you did. And I said, I want to move down the street. What?
No,
crazy.
She did. And she, because she knew that I'm different, that she's like, she can more spontaneously move.
I had to prepare him to hear that. And that was only after what, how long have we been married? Like 10 years at that point. Not even. We had been married 6 years. And I had to prepare him for, I have something new and here it is. But that took time. That took lots of error to come to that point.
And we have an else.
We're going to take a quick pause here. Dr. Edward Sri and his wife Beth are with us here on the program. And you can join Joanna on a phone line right now. Justin called in as well. 888-318-7884. We are talking this hour about Jesus in your marriage. And that is a key ingredient, Jesus being a central part of your relationship. If that's not the case for you right now, maybe you're concerned about your marriage right now. Maybe your spouse is just simply not open to going to church or praying together or including Jesus in any way, you can certainly give us a call. They would give you great advice on how to really bolster that relationship with the presence of Jesus central to your marriage. 888-318-7884. We're going to get right back to the discussion. But first, I want to mention a free ebook from Catholic Answers. They are really getting known for these free ebooks and great deals on all sorts of other things. And, you know, it's been a really awful year in many ways. It's been a blessed year. It's been a year of opportunities for many of us. But some people, a lot of people actually, are trying to figure out, how do I navigate this? How do I get through this? How do I maintain my peace and my sanity? Well, according to this free ebook, the answer is prayer, prayer, prayer. It's our best weapon against evil, and you can learn more about prayer with a very special free ebook from our very own Father Hugh Barber and Father Sebastian Walsh. Just go to shop.catholic.com, download your free copy of the ebook. It's called 20 Answers Prayer. It's part of the 20 Answers series, very great series from Catholic Answers, at shop.catholic.com. Just look for the button at the top of the page, and you will find it, and you can download your free copy of this great ebook. Be right back.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
There are a lot of ways to pray. When I was in the evangelical world, we didn't like rote prayers that the Catholics prayed. Nah, we wanted to say our own prayers. We thought that it was coming more from the heart. Any kind of prayer, whether it comes from the heart and is a loose connection of words, or it is a prayer that the church has had for centuries, is good because it is prayer.
Happy Friday afternoon to you. It is the first Friday of the month, so maybe you have been to Mass, maybe you prayed your rosary, your Divine Mercy Chaplet, maybe you still have services that you're going to be attending here. We always love to honor the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ on Fridays, but especially on the first Friday. So please keep that in mind. Let's be especially in prayer for the state of our nation, the future of our nation, that God's will be done, and that people all get along and things are settled in a reasonable and especially, like I said, a godly way. This hour we're talking about Jesus in your marriage with Ted and Beth Sree, and we're going to start your phone calls with Joanna in Boston, who is watching the program on Facebook Live. Hi, Joanna. Welcome.
Mr. and Mrs. Sree, thank you for your witness and sharing your experiences. It's very consoling that you're both Catholic and you still have arguments, because I always imagine that if my husband, once he converts, he's going to be perfect. So I'm calling actually to ask about my husband of 20 years. We have 3 kids. We're married in a Catholic church, but he is agnostic / pagan, I would say. And of course, like you were saying, I didn't discover all that, you know, the day we were getting married. It slowly unraveled as we were having kids, and I've been able to take kids to church and baptize communion and confirm them. But when I want to include Jesus in our daily prayer with my husband, or even before meals, it's a struggle. He would pray a prayer that is agnostic and paganistic, and I would like to pray in the name of Jesus. And so the prayer before meal, for example, is that I say my prayer, he says his prayer. And our kids are in the middle, and they pray both. But there is this dissonance, and it's so visible. And I don't know how to take that beyond what we're doing.
Can I ask, how is your friendship with your husband?
Say that again, please.
How is your friendship with your husband? How do you feel like, apart from this issue, what's your relationship like?
It's there. It's distant, I would say. And a lot of it is given the differences of on faith.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, do you have any thoughts here, honey?
I mean, that's such a hard, hard situation. Honestly, I think just pray and fast for your husband is probably going to be key. I mean, you can only talk to him so much about this issue. And it reminds me of that St. Monica quote. And I don't know how often you do talk to him about it. You know,
I know a woman's temptation would often be to talk a lot about you need to convert and don't you see and this would be so much better and Jesus loves you. You know what I mean? Kind of almost nag with it. Again, I'm not saying that is your situation at all. But there's a St. Monica quote where I think it was a priest that told her.
Said
when she was really struggling with her son, Augustine, who would not convert and was living a pagan lifestyle. And he said to her, Monica, you need to talk to God more about Augustine and less to Augustine about God. And we all know how that story ended up, right? Eventually, we get Augustine converted. We get St. Augustine, Doctor of the Church. And Monica died shortly after his conversion, after many tears, after many prayers, after many sacrifices on her on his behalf within her home. And even her husband, too, her husband, I believe.
Yeah, that's the key. Her husband, too, I think it relates right. very much here, is converted because of her witness, because of her constant faithfulness to her, him, the kindness.
Yeah.
And she and he eventually just saw something. He was a pretty rough guy and did a lot of bad things. So, but he eventually just saw her witness of love, kindness, patience, forgiveness. So I would, you know, when questions come up, to answer them, of course. But I think you're more likely to win his heart from two things, what Beth said earlier, just the prayer and fasting and the sacrifices. But I then adding on the example of Monica, of just her own kindness and patience and gentleness, sacrifice, service, that if he really sees like there's this great love that God can use that and work through that more than he can through just nice apologetic arguments many times. So we'll pray for you,
yes,
and it's a very
sure.
difficult situation. So you'll be in our prayers this evening, in particular.
Okay, Joanna.
Thank you.
Yeah, we will definitely be praying for you. Thanks for the call. And I'm glad you referenced that. I've heard that quote as well. Talk less to Augustine about God and more to God about Augustine or something like that. But I really do believe what you both just said, and I'd love you to expound upon this. If a spouse has a husband or a wife who is not practicing faith, maybe even antagonistic toward it, smile, serve them, love them. Let your prayer be, vertical versus so much horizontal stuff. Talk about how, you know, if you just really beseech the Lord— God, nobody wants their relationship to be happier and more firm than God does, right? So talk about the importance of just really you going to God and then just with the spouse or the family member, just really serving in a loving, joyful kind of way.
Yeah. I really appreciate your feedback.
Catholic Answers Live, 888-318-7884. If you'd like to get on this hour of the program, we are talking about Jesus in your marriage. And Ted and Beth, going back to what you were talking about, we mentioned that the people have different upbringings and so forth, and that might cause some, you know, some things to happen after the marriage. You're discovering things about your spouse and so forth. For me, that would seem to mean that communication is really so vitally important, that a husband and a wife have take every opportunity that they can to talk things through, and when something arises that seems to be a problem, sit down and say, all right, let's have cool heads about this and really communicate and talk this through. Is that important?
Yeah, definitely. We don't always exemplify it. I think that's a great point just to make, and the previous caller kind of alluded to this. Sometimes people could think, you know, Jerry, you have a radio show, and here I am, you know, I'm a theologian, and, you know, so that we must just have the most impeccable, you know, Christian lives and marriages. Like, you know, Dr. Shreem must probably talk about theology of the body around the dinner table and all that. Like, that is not the case. We are in the messiness of married life, aww, just like the rest of you. We're all struggling together. In fact, we love learning from many couples who are older and wiser all the time, because we need all the help we can get. But on that point that you mentioned, Jerry, about, you know, the, you know, like when there are those heated moments, you know, I want to share a great quote that John Paul II once said. It's very beautiful. He writes about this in his book, Love and Responsibility. He says, like, when we started to notice our beloved's faults, we notice their weaknesses, even when they hurt us, like, what do we do at that moment? He says that that's when love is tested the most. You know, that's when I'm really like, do I really love this person? You know, like, not because, you know, we often think love is all those feelings, you know, oh, you know, we just fall in love and all these warm feelings. This is great. But the reality is that, you know, love is not about the feelings. You know, the definition of love in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, quoting the great Thomas Aquinas, is to will the good of the other. It's well beyond those feelings. So there's many seasons in life where you don't have all those feelings. You know, maybe you do have feelings, but they're the kind of feelings you need to bring to confession, you know?
Right.
And JP2 says that's when love is tested the most.
Yeah.
What do you do?
All right, hold on there on that thought. Yeah, it reminds me of another song. See, being a former disc jockey, you're cursed because there's a song in everything like Foreigner. I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. Well, we're talking about love and marriage and including Jesus at the center of your marriage. Join us in this conversation with Ted and Beth Sri at 888-318-7884. We're coming right back.
Catholic Answers Live.
If you spend any time on Twitter, Facebook, or mainstream media, you're probably familiar with the litany of slogans that skeptics employ to rescue you from the foolish belief that God exists. The constant onslaught seems to leave people with the idea that they have no alternative but to embrace atheism. How can a Christian respond? In One Less God Than You, John DeRosa breaks down 20 of the most common atheist challenges and shows you how to craft effective answers. Atheism is more aggressive and widespread than ever. Read One Less God Than You and prepare yourself to respond with the joyful truth that God is real. To get your copy of One Less God Than You, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
To many people, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the Church. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I'll give you the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Have you subscribed to the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter? This is Catholic Answers Live host Cy Kellett, and I want to tell you about our new weekly newsletter full of behind-the-scenes information and facts you need to know about the show. It's easy to sign up. Just visit CatholicAnswersLive.com and look for the newsletter sign-up box on the front of the page. It's a great way to keep up to date with what's happening with the show and see what's coming in the days ahead, delivered weekly into your inbox. Sign up today for the Catholic Answers Radio Club newsletter and see what you've been missing. Go to CatholicAnswersLive.com.
All right, moving toward the end of a Friday here, the first Friday of the month, and it's take two with Jerry and Debbie, but I was going to tell you about that. It's actually Catholic Answers Live. I got to remember which program I'm on, but Debbie Giorgiani and I have take two with Jerry and Debbie on Monday through Friday at noon Eastern on many of these same EWTN stations, and also a replay of the show at midnight Eastern, so we hope that you can join us. We talk about really everyday life stuff that we're discussing this hour with Dr. Edward and Beth Sri. They are talking about Jesus in your marriage, 888-318-7884, if you'd like to join us, talking about really where the rubber hits the road. You know, you have that wedding day, and then all of a sudden, okay, now living together and having a life together and being united and bringing Jesus into it, that's where it all kind of gets started right there. So, Ted and Beth, there was an off-air question from Justin. He is in Hall, Iowa, and he is getting married in 3 weeks. Congratulations, Justin. And he wants to know, do you have any tips for how to make Jesus the center of our relationship?
That's a great question. I mean, obviously praying is key, because if you're not getting it from above, if you're not opening yourself up to the graces, then you don't have much to offer your spouse. That I think is crucial. And that generally, yes, you can pray together, and that's wonderful and necessary. But I would say even your own personal prayer is foundational, because your relationship is with our Lord, with Jesus, is what you're going to be offering to your spouse.
Yeah, amen to that. I really think that's important. A lot of people talk about, oh, praying together as a couple. Yeah, right. That's great. Do that. Pray as a family, yes. But man, you really need to have
your personal prayer time. You need to have at least 20, 30 minutes a day for you and Jesus. And that's not just saying the rosary. I'm talking about time where you're doing maybe Lectio Divina or Ignatian meditation, whatever form of, you know, Catholic traditional prayer you use, being in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Like that's where you're able to give your spouse so much more than just you.
Yeah.
I often tell the story about my wife. So a few years ago when she was drinking less coffee than she is now, but she would, her commitment to prayer always began the night before. And so what she would do is she would go downstairs before she'd go to bed and make a cup of coffee, and she'd put in this, you know, thermos and put the thermos next to the bedstand.
The thermos that was supposed to keep the coffee hot for 12 hours, but did not.
So she would do it. And then what happens is when she gets up in the morning, she drops her knees, she does her morning offering, and then she would open up the windows. We have a beautiful view of the Rocky Mountains here
in
Colorado.
And I would chug that coffee and stare at my prayer book, trying to coherently form a prayer to our Lord and meet him there until the caffeine took effect. And then I could legitimately pray.
But she did her prayer right in the morning. And why did she make the coffee the night before? It's because in a household of 8 children, if she goes downstairs, yes, she's never coming back up.
It's game
she will
over.
Never get the prayer time. As a couple, this was important that I met from very early on to make sure that Beth had time for prayer and make sure I got time for prayer. So sometimes I would get up early and take care of the baby so she could go pray in those early days. And so those are like the creative things to do to really make sure each individual spouse is getting that time. Why? Because I know she'd made that commitment to prayer, because when she walks downstairs, she wants to give me and she wants to give the children much more than herself. And she's got a lot to offer, but she knows she can give us so much more if she's really united with Jesus. The same thing in my own life. And so I think amen to that. That's a crucial thing.
Yeah.
Make sure you have time for prayer and your spouse has time for prayer, that you're getting spiritually tanked up each day. One other advice I'll just give you is just know marriage will get hard. And there will
be
a dark night of marriage will come.
And it doesn't mean that you yourself are faulty. That is exactly what marriage is designed for, is to be hard, to challenge you. It's not meaning that you and your wife are the problem.
Yeah, this is actually what that's exactly what marriage is for. Marriage is a school of love. Yes. And this it's a hard school. It's yes. demanding. Yes. You're not getting easy A's. Not everyone gets a trophy in this school.
Yes.
And it is going to stretch you. It's so demanding. There'll be times, really, there'll be seasons in life where you may just be wondering, how did we get here? What happened? Mm-hmm. Where are we going? You know, and you'll be thinking, no one else suffers like we do. Well, that's not true. We've all gone through it. But it's right there in those dark moments that Jesus is coming to do something new and beautiful in your life. You know, Pope Benedict once said that, you know, that initial love, that spark of attraction and romance that we bring to our marriages, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's what draws a couple together, but it doesn't last. It's not going to last. Jesus wants to come in and make something new. It's kind of like that first wine at Cana. That first wine at Cana was wonderful. Everyone loved it, but it ran out. It did not last. But Jesus came in and created something so much better, a much better wine, and one that would never run out. And that's what he wants to do in our marriages. He wants to take that initial love that you have right now for your spouse to be, your fiance there, and it's wonderful, it's beautiful, it brought you together, but that's not the greatest love. That's just stage one love. Mm-hmm. Jesus wants to bring you to the heights of holy love, and it's going to be really hard and demanding. But if when you get those moments where you're feeling like where's the love? What happened? Know that that's the moment Jesus is meeting you. So you're not even going to be aware of this for the next several months, probably not the next several years, maybe not for the next several kids, God bless, if you're blessed with children. But just keep that in mind. When that happens, that's the number one moment that Jesus is wanting to take your love deeper. It's not a sign that everything's going wrong. It's a sign that marriage is working.
And in that moment, it's important to stay in it, to stay in that moment, not to numb, not to run away, not to push the eject button, but to stay in the moment, to pursue whatever the big question mark is, to figure it out with our Lord in prayer, with your wife in talking it out. Maybe even you need more help than that. Maybe you need a priest or a therapist to sit down and help you sort through a lot of things. That is okay. That's actually quite commendable to take it to somebody else. There's no shame in that whatsoever.
Well, that is all beautiful advice. Thank you, Justin, for your question from Iowa. Many, many blessings to you in your marriage and your partnership with your wife. And may God bless you, as I said, with many, many kids. I guess, Ted and Beth, the only other thing I would add is for Justin to pick a best man who's going to go up to him 15 minutes before the wedding and laugh at him, right?
That's right.
Mind him what he's doing.
All right, we're going to go to Julia in the state of Washington, my home state, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Hi, Julia. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I heard a previous caller it's kind of a similar situation I was in. My husband was a cop for 13 years, and he became very numb to emotion. So when I would voice something, he would pretty much ignore it. So what I would do is I would go into our laundry room, and because no one bugs me there, I would go and I would pray, and I would cry to God, and just me and God. And then one specific occasion, I was like, God, he's such a jerk. He's such a jerk. What do I do? Sorry, it gets me all choked up. But so I'm putting away, like 15 minutes later, I'm putting away laundry in my boys' room. My husband comes in and says verbatim, honey, I'm sorry for being such a jerk.
Wow.
There's more, but I got to catch my breath. It was just like, God hears our prayers in that instant. And we just, if we take that moment to stop and say, God, give me grace. God, don't let me go off on my husband. I'm Italian, so I have quite a temper. So we've been married 22 years now. And it's like, we have six kids, Catholic homeschool, you know, that work. And we have four left at home. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. But that was one thing that happened. And then also just when she was asking about praying and her husband was atheist or agnostic. So what I did with my husband, because I married Catholic, but he wasn't as strong as I am because I'm a convert. And I believe in family prayer every night. So he didn't want to do it. So I did it with the kids. I had their Bible. I had them read it. I had, you know, them do it. And pretty soon, you know what happened? They were like, Dad, why aren't you praying with us? So he, out of guilt, he started praying with us. And now, you know, 22 years later, he leads it. But, you know, those are the things that, you know, I've experienced. I mean, there's many, many more. But, that's kind of what I wanted to say. And then, you know, after 7 years of fasting and praying the rosary, offering it up, he is no longer a cop. And we have a home business now. We've had for 11 years. So he's home with, you know, all the kids who are growing up and stuff. So in a nutshell, you know, just if you can take that moment, and like I said, it's so difficult, but take that breath and say, God, give me grace. God, what do I do? You know, and then he gives you that spirit. He tells you what to do. And for me, again, being Italian, I'm very stubborn, and German too, half and half. So it's like, then I have to listen. Then I have to say, okay, Julie, you need to apologize this time. You know, and that's very difficult, but man, it saves so many arguments, you know?
Oh, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that's such a testimony to the fact that there's no quick fix. You know, it's time after time, it's year after year, it's, you know, prayer after prayer, wondering, is it ever going to change? But you stuck with it. I mean, Julia, you're my hero here in your perseverance and your faithfulness to it. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing, because that does give us all hope that we can persevere and continue and see fruit. Yes. You got to see the fruit. How awesome is that?
Yeah, Julia, what I'm really moved by in your story is your great love for God and for your husband.
Yes.
In moments when he was not able to love you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been blessed to get to know a number of people that work in kind of emergency services, police, forest, firemen, and it is a really hard life, you know, and many times, you know, and they're suffering a lot. I'm sure, you know, he wasn't treating you well, but I'm sure, you know the story more than I do, of course, but I'm sure he was suffering, and God looks upon mm-hmm. him with great compassion for the suffering he's had to face, but, you know, through his ordeals as being a cop and all. And that's an encouragement to everybody. You may be in a really dark situation in your marriage mm-hmm. and wondering, my spouse will never change. That's the devil. The devil is telling you that. That mm-hmm. is not from God. God can always work miracles. He can always do what we think is impossible. And also, the other thing is God sees the whole person's heart. We often just feel the brunt of it, going, oh, why is he acting this way? Why am I being treated this way? And it helps us to look at compassion and going, there must be something that he's deeply wounded by too.
Right.
And your heart going out in prayer, and you're fasting, you're sacrificing for him, but pouring out to God saying, God, why is he doing this? You know, and that, but you turned to God with that. You didn't turn mm-hmm. to Instagram with that, you know,
or you didn't lash out right back at him, you know,
that and God really, really rewarded your faithfulness. And mm-hmm. that's the love that Jesus has for us. When Jesus was on Good Friday, I'm sure he felt like the Israelites were numb to him. The Israelites didn't treat him well. Yeah. They were like jerks to him, you know, spitting at him, mocking him. He came to save them. But that's what marriage does. And there's always seasons in life where one spouse or the other is not able to give the love, and that's going to happen. Will we still love like Jesus though? And that's what the marriage is, the school of love. So thank you, Julia.
Thank you. Anything else, Julia?
Time for one more.
Sure,
yeah. Go ahead. Is there time for me to share one more?
Yeah, yeah, please feel okay. free to do so, yeah.
This is pretty deep and dark, but my husband, when he was a cop, drove around 3 days with a gun to his head, wanting to commit suicide because he was so persecuted for having so many children and so made fun of him. And I said, you know, you can't do this. You know, we're following the teachings of the faith, and we will be rewarded. And sorry, it's just a lot, you know, but I did an emergency novena to St. Joseph, and I just basically said, you know, he's the patron of fathers. And I said, whatever God's will be, I will not. He wanted to get a vasectomy after our fifth child because he was so persecuted at his work. They called us the Griswolds, and, you know, it was every day, day after day after day after day, and it just wore him down. So, I just knew in my heart, it's like, no matter what he chooses, that's not God's will, that's his will. But that emergency novena to St. Joseph, you know, it was, I just had to trust God. I mean, what else can you do in a situation like that? There's no other choice. God will always, always set you free. And I had a boyfriend who had committed suicide. We dated all, you know, through our junior high and high school years. So it was quite a deep fear of mine that he might actually do it. But through that, I knew that it was not my fault. It would never be my fault. And it was his choice if he did that. But by the grace of God and, you know, fasting, prayer, novena, I mean, these are our tools. This is our strength. This is our power. When we feel powerless, he's got it all, you know, and he's given it to us all. So, I wanted to share that for people who think there's no hope. There's always hope because he created us. I mean, how can there not be hope?
Yeah, Julia, you just said what I was going to say. There were many reasons why God allowed you and your husband to go through all of this, but one of them is your participation in this program today. You have just imparted hope to, I'm sure, countless hopeless people, people who are wondering, is God present? Is he hearing their prayers? Is he gonna strengthen our marriage, restore our marriage? So God bless you, Julia. Thank you so much for all that you brought to the program today. We appreciate it, and our prayers and gratitude go with you. Thank you for the call, and we got to take another very quick short break here, but Julia mentioned the prayers to St. Joseph, and Ted and Beth, I know you're both probably very familiar with Father Donald Calloway's consecration to St. St. Joseph, which I cannot encourage people enough to participate in. We know a lot about consecration to Jesus through Mary and our devotion to Our Lady and her role in our lives, and all of that is just so mightily powerful. But Father Donald Calloway, as you both know, believes this is St. Joseph's moment in the history of the world and in the history of the church. So for those of you who have not gotten a hold of that book and made your consecration to St. Joseph, please do. I did it this past year. I made the consecration prayer on Father's Day. I wanted to do that for St. Joseph. And so please look that book up. It may be available at Catholic Answers. If not, find it somewhere. It's Consecration to St. Joseph by Father Donald Calloway. We'll get right back to our conversation with Ted and Beth Sri in just a minute. Just have to remind you, about Catholic Answers Tri-Day sale, Black Tri-Day. You hear about Black Friday. This weekend, it is a three-day Black Tri-Day sale, and the main point is we want you to maybe get a jump start on your holiday giving. You know, mail has slowed down a little bit. There's supply chain issues and so forth, and also we want to make sure that you get gifts for those you love that are going to build up their faith and draw them closer to God and to salvation. And so today, tomorrow, and Sunday, you can save an additional 15% off already discounted prices. Just simply use the promo code BONUS15 when you go to shop.catholic.com. It's BONUS15. You get ebooks, MP3s, CDs, books, DVDs. Even the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics courses are on sale. So go to shop.catholic.com and enter the code BONUS15 for your additional 15% off.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Once you lose faith, if somebody does something to you and hurts you one time, two time, three time, four time, St. Peter thought seven was a good number. How often should I forgive my brother, Lord? Seven times? My Lord said, no. 70 times, 7 times a day.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Catholic Answers Live on this Friday, ending another week. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellett, who will be back on Monday. Always a blessing to be back on this program, which I actually hosted from its inception in 1998 until about 2009. So it really truly is. It's kind of, my DNA is in the program, and the program's DNA is in me. So it's great to be with you. And we're talking this hour with Ted and Beth Sri about Jesus in your marriage and the importance of that spiritual bond, the practices of prayer and devotion in your spiritual life and your married life. And Ted and Beth, I would like to actually go back to, how or where people are married. I want to know if this is a kind of anything worth discussing. Like, a lot of people want to get these destination weddings, out of these fancy, beautiful places and all of this. And yet, as Catholic Christians, we really believe in the understanding of having a wedding mass and it being in a church and all of that. Can this kind of help to build a more solid foundation based on where and how a couple are married?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you're the theologian. Okay,
I mean, where and how you're married, really, that's the foundation. It says a lot, right? And if I'm more interested in, is a beautiful beach or a nice little, scenic background.
Or what kind of pictures we're going to get from it.
Yeah, and even that, So you may still do it in a church, but all the emphasis is on the dress, the pictures, and all those kinds of things.
The exterior.
That says a lot, because the marriage is really based on a sacrament, and you are something new is being created when it's a sacrament. So when you don't get married in the church and you just go and find your favorite little chapel or beach or wooded area, whatever your favorite destination spot may be, you're not really joined at the profound level that you can be with the grace of the sacrament. So what happens is
you know, when we talk about marriage as a sacrament, what does that really mean? It means that that something new is created that day when husband and wife exchange their vows and then consummate their marriage. Eventually, they are joined in a bond that did not exist before. They might have been good friends. They might have said nice words to each other and expressed verbal commitment. But at that moment, God has entered in to that union in a profound way. Something new exists that did not exist before, and it's that marriage bond. Secondly, this marriage bond is a participation in a bigger bond. The bond that Beth and I have in our marriage is a participation in something so much bigger, so much profound, and that's the love of Jesus for his church. And so Christ laying down his life for the church, that's that is what marriage is. Beth and I, and all of you who are married, you're just participants in this larger thing of Jesus, the bridegroom, and Christ, and the church is the bride. And that's the model for us. And so now there's this third point, and that is there's a font of grace that is available to me now. And what happens there is that means the life of Jesus, that's what grace is. It's the life of the Son of God, the divine life dwelling within me. But in a particular way here, it's a grace dwelling within me to help me love the way Jesus loves his church. And as we've been talking about all through the show, there's so many times where we need to, the love that we have is just not enough. It's not gonna go the distance. It's not gonna be able to deal with all those difficult times and the trials and all that. We need Jesus to radiate through us. And so when I go get married in a church with the sacrament,
you're going to the fount of the source. You're going straight to the source.
There's a tremendous power that we can tap into when you go, and you might get nice pictures if you just go and do your beach wedding with. You know, you rewrite your own vows or do whatever, you know, which is what people do today. Mm. Yeah, okay, you might have nice pictures for that and maybe a nice little cool video. And you can post it on Instagram. Way to go. But that's not going to help you. Those pictures aren't going to help you when you face moments like Julia faced.
Right. And Julia in her laundry room was calling on the graces of the sacramental bond between she and her husband in that moment, in that despair. It was coming straight into her laundry room so that she could go out and love her husband and her family with the love of Christ. And that's why we go right before the Blessed Sacrament. That's why we often have a Mass. That's why we are plugged straight into the heart of the church when we come together and say, I do. And that's why when we come together and say, I do, and we have that bond, then what flows from that bond? Fruitfulness, children, life-giving love.
And we often draw on the grace of the sacraments. Many times I'll pray, Jesus, give me the grace right now to understand, to be patient, to not lose my temper, whatever it is, you know, to love like you love. Mm-hmm. And what I have is not enough. It's just not. Right. I need Jesus. And so we really need the sacrament of marriage, not just a secular marriage.
Not as substitute.
Yeah, I love the symbolism of Julia bringing her marital dirty laundry into the laundry room, and it came out, you know, much cleaner, thanks be to God and his beautiful graces. And Ted and Beth, a friend of mine once said, you know, they're very devout Catholics, married. They said, when a couple do what you two have done here today, you're almost kind of finishing each other's sentences and really complimenting each other very well. They say, your sacrament is showing. So I want to congratulate you both and thank you so much for your time on the program today. It has really been, I think, a very eye-opening and very reassuring program for a lot of people. And hopefully it's going to really impact those who are preparing for marriage or maybe have entered into marriage and are experiencing some strife in their relationship. So God bless you both for all that you've done here on the program today. I know each of you have a website where people can find you. Please feel free to give those out.
Okay, you reach me at edwardsri.com. That's edwardsri.com.
And I'm at borntodothis.org. That's after St. Joan of Arc. I am not afraid. I was born to do this.org.
Beautiful. Thank you both. Thanks. It's been a real pleasure. This was a real joy for me to be able to be hosting for Sci today and to be on with both of you. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
God bless.
All right. There you go. Look at that. How's that for timing? You hear the closing music there. Jerry Usher, I have been in for Cy Kellett today here on Catholic Answers Live. We hope and pray that this broadcast has blessed you. All the archives are available shortly after the shows at catholic.com. Again, I want to issue an invitation to you to check out my program with Debbie Giorgiani, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, Monday through Friday at noon Eastern on many of these same EWTN stations, and an encore broadcast at midnight Eastern Time, and the show website is take2show.com. Debbie and I have a new book out, Trustful Surrender. It's for stories of loved ones who have left the faith. So if you can relate to that, go to EWTNRC.com and check that out. Trustful Surrender. God bless.